Columbia Broadcasting System presents the 8th and 9th in a series of 14 proposed new programs entitled Forecast. The series called Forecast is an attempt to supply possible solutions for an ever-present, ever-troublesome radio problem, that of finding new people, new ideas, new combinations of idea and personality. Each broadcast in the Forecast lineup is a sample broadcast, a trial performance of a new show which, if you like it, may eventually reach the air as a regular weekly feature. Tonight, from New York and from Hollywood, Forecast offers for your approval two radio first nights, each plainly marked for future reference.
As forecast number 8 from New York, Dave Ellman, director of Hobby Lobby, presents a new idea show called The Life of the Party.
Forecast number 9 from Hollywood, Edward Everett Horton and Leave It to Jeeves with Alan Mowbray. From New York, then.
Dave Ellman presents the first in a proposed new series of programs entitled The Life of the Party, with Hildegard, Shirley Wayne, David Ross, and 8 other guests, including for the first time on the air, the Dodgers Quartet, made up of 4 famous Brooklyn ball players, Johnny Hudson, Vito Tremulous, Tex Coughlin, and Dixie Walker. Musical direction is under Harry Salters. And here's the party of the first part, originator and producer of The Life of the Party, Dave Ellman.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the life of the party. In case you may be wondering, I am not the life of the party in person. My very pleasant task this evening is to act as your host, and host as well to a group of very interesting people here in the studio. You know, they're interesting in a very special way. They're all party savers, people who can gallop to the rescue of a party when things slow down and get dull. People who can lend a great deal more than their presence and their cocktail capacity to any gathering. For instance, take our first guest, Cortez Peters, who comes from Washington, D.C. When Cortez is invited to a shindig, he always takes along his typewriter. That's because his friends are always asking him to sit down at the keys and imitate a fife and drum corps on the typewriter. Well, here's Cortez. In front of him is a typewriter. Beside him is a fife player. Put the three together, and you get something like this. You know, that's what I call a valuable man to have around at a party. Cortez, can you perform any other amazing stunts with a typewriter?
I suppose you've heard of Bill Robinson, the tap dancer?
Of course. Now, don't tell me he plays the typewriter, too.
No, but I started imitating his tap steps, and now I can do on a typewriter almost any tap step Bill Robinson can do with his feet.
Well, Cortez, before you do your tap typing, I'd like to tell our listeners that you're not using a trick typewriter. The machine is a stock model Royal Portable, the same kind you can buy in any store. Now, Cortez, let's hear you tap out a typewritten copy of Bill Robinson. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully, because on certain of these taps, the keys of the typewriter strike 25 times a second. Incidentally, Cortez Peters is considered one of the greatest typists in the world. Listen. I've often wondered what driving force compels a man to labor so diligently to become the life of the party. Well, maybe our next guest can enlighten us. His name is Tom King, and he's from Hoboken, New Jersey. Tom, what inspired you to become the life of the party?
It was love, Mr. Almond, just good old love.
Well, Tom, strictly entre nous, is it a love that can be spoken of in public, or is it a love that you want to cherish forever in your secret thoughts?
No, I don't mind blabbering.
You know, love is a sacred thing, Tom.
Yeah, and it's expensive, too.
Well, suppose we get back to that little question of how you became the life of the party.
Oh, yes. Well, I used to go with a girl named Hilda. And when we went out, this friend of mine, Pinky, always used to be the life of the party. He used to put a lampshade on his head and wrap a tablecloth around his stomach and make believe he was Madame Lazanga. Hilda thought he was wonderful. The next day, I do some heavy thinking. And while I'm thinking, I'm looking at the fire extinguisher. Boy, I says to myself, if Mickey was only a fire, I'd put him out.
The pangs of love were gnawing at your heart.
Yeah. Anyway, the next time I goes to a party, I bring along this fire extinguisher and played music with it.
Now, hold it, Tom. How in the world can you get music out of a fire extinguisher?
It's a trade secret. But I don't mind telling you, Mr. Elman, because I don't think you're Hilda's type. You see, I fill the extinguisher up with compressed air. Then I let out the air through the nozzle, and while the air's coming out, I'm squeezing the nozzle with my fingers and making it give out with a real melody.
Well, Tom, let's hear a real fire extinguisher concerto. All right, Harry, music. The fire is hereby declared officially out. That's good work, Tom. Now, of course, there are parties and parties. I can even imagine a type of hi-hat gathering at which a fire extinguisher virtuoso like Tom King might be greeted with lifted eyebrows. Well, around here we have a rule against lifting eyebrows, but we do aim to cover as much party territory as possible, uptown, downtown, and everywhere between. And that's one reason for the presence in our midst of David Ross. Dave Ross, as I'm sure you all know, reads poetry on the air and reads it better than just about anyone else. Every once in a while, he wins a diction award, and every once in a while, he goes to a party. Well, at a certain stage in every party, somebody is sure to ask Dave to recite. Am I right, Dave?
Well, yes, it seems to be inevitable.
And Dave, being an obliging soul, steps up and does his stuff. The result has always been impressive. So impressive that we decided to make Dave's favorite party poem part of our own get-together tonight. It's a poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning, written many years ago to her husband, Robert Browning. If you saw the Barretts of Wimpole Street on the screen, I'm sure you'll recall that tremendous love affair. David Ross and How Do I Love Thee, one of the great English love sonnets by Elizabeth Barrett Browning.
How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight for the ends of being and ideal grace. I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. And if God choose, I shall but love thee better after death.
Thank you, David. I'm sure every listener has been moved and inspired. Well, now to start off on another tack. In the Broadway show Hell's a Poppin', Olson and Johnson have gathered together a stage full of the craziest looking and acting characters you've ever seen. It's really a madhouse of humanity. Well, our next guest is one of the entertainers in that show. Her name is Shirley Wayne. Shirley, what do you do at a party?
I just sit and sulk.
You sulk? Why?
Because I'm the number one non-glamour girl of America.
No.
Yeah. When I was in school, I was voted the girl most likely to succeed in being an old maid.
Shirley, what do you do when you're called on to be the life of the party?
What party?
Any party.
Why don't you make up your mind? I play the fiddle.
Well, you don't seem very happy about it.
I hate happiness. I hate the fiddle, too.
Then why do you play it?
Because there's a mean streak in me.
Don't you like parties?
No. When I lived out in Indiana, every time they had a party, I went alone, sat alone, and came home alone. I was a wallflower so long people thought I was part of the wall.
How did you manage to change their opinion?
Well, one night I took my fiddle to a party. Everybody laughed at me, but they didn't know I played the fiddle with my heavy gloves on.
Well, how in the world did you learn to play the violin wearing heavy gloves?
Look, I used to play in the snow, and when my mother hollered for me to practice, I'd start practicing without taking my gloves off.
How did it sound with gloves on?
Just as good. Anyhow, it was warmer.
Well, Shirley, I'm going to turn the party over to you so we can hear what you sounded like that famous day back in Indiana.
Okay, Mr. Elman, here's the way I announced myself at that party. Wasn't a flashy introduction, but the way I said it kept him awake anyhow. Miss Shirley Wayne will now sing and play the violin with heavy gloves on. Thank you. Oh, the old apple tree in the orchard lives in my memory, 'cause it reminds me of my pappy. He was handsome, young, and happy when he planted the old apple tree. Say goodbye, say goodbye, say goodbye, say goodbye. 'Cause if my pappy would have known it, he'd be sorry that he growed it, for they hung him on the old apple tree. Oh, say goodbye, say goodbye, say goodbye, say goodbye. 'Cause if my pappy would have known it, he'd be sorry that he growed it, for they hung him on the old apple tree.
That was a bit of Hell's a Poppin'. According to Winchell, Sullivan, and the other columnists, actors are supposed to have a lot of fun at parties. So we corralled a very well-known young actor for this evening, by name Joseph Julian. Now, in order to help me with my statistics, Joe, I want you to tell me how you rate as a party man.
Well, Dave, I can appreciate just how Miss Wayne felt at a party. You may not believe it, but 6 months ago, I wasn't even a wallflower. I was just a shrub. But today, I'm known strictly as the Canarsie Bombshell.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Joe. What caused this sudden transformation from a scallion to an orchid?
Well, Dave, I learned that I had a lot of personal magnetism in my hands. I learned a different way to palm off tunes on the public.
You mean you're a song plugger?
No, a song palmer.
I still don't get it.
Well, it's very simple. I make music by squeezing the palms of my hands together.
Well, where'd you ever get that brilliant idea?
Well, lots of people play by ear, so one day I said to myself, why not play by hand?
And now all you have to do is to squeeze your two hands together to produce a tune. Well, can you give us a sample, Joe?
All right, I might try giving the Volga boatman a little squeeze.
Go ahead, Joe, try it.
All And I gotta tune up my instrument here.
Well, there goes the talcum powder on his hands. Now he's rubbing his hands together. Go ahead, let's hear the Volga Boatman.
I hope I'm in good hand tonight. I heard a couple fingers drawing a Rachmaninoff prelude the other day.
Joe, I believe you've discovered a new form of musical expression there.
Oh, I can apply that to other art forms, too. You think David Ross is good at poetry, you should hear mine.
Poetry?
Sure. I'll squeeze out a little recitation for you. You know that old poem, Mary Had a Little Lamb?
Yes.
Well, here's how I put the pressure on Mary and her little lamb.
There was a time, not so long ago, when every home had a piano and every party centered around that piano. There was one name that was on every guest list then, and that name was Fred Hall. Fred, do you remember the stunt you used to do at every party you went to?
You mean the imitation of a girl who played piano in the movie theater where they showed the silent pictures?
That's the one, Fred.
Yeah, but Dave, that was 20 years ago, and a lot of youngsters don't remember the days of silent pictures.
Well, suppose we tell them about it then. In the days before talking pictures, the only sound you'd ever hear in a picture show was the piano playing of some neighborhood girl who'd been hired to play music to fit the mood of the picture. When there were cowboys, for instance, she played cowboy music. Indian, she played Indian music. If the picture was sad, she'd play Hearts and Flowers or Trauma Roy or some other sad melody. And if it was gay, she'd play a popular tune, anything that came to her mind. By her music, you knew exactly what was happening on the screen.
Yes, but her great ambition was to finish playing piano at the exact moment that the picture ended. First time she saw the picture was pretty tough trying to figure out just when it was going to end. Usually she chewed gum and was chewing gum and watching the picture and playing piano at the same time. She was kept mighty busy. Well, this is the way she used to play the music for a Western epic in the days before the talkies.
There goes the chewing gum. one type of party we've neglected, what you might call the sophisticated party, the sort of glittering spree that Condé Nast or Cole Porter or, say, Gilbert Miller might throw after a big Broadway opening. You know, one of those movie penthouse affairs with famous actresses all over the place and a gossip columnist under every table where he has plenty of company. The room is crowded, the talk is loud, and voices are shrill. But the chatter stops when a very, very lovely blonde girl at the piano over there starts to play. It's Hildegard, bright and shining star of the more expensive nightclubs, the toast of London and the continent, and one of Manhattan's nightlife darlings. And this is Hildegard, singing the song she always has to sing at every party and every performance.
American boy in Paris fell for a lovely mademoiselle. With no French at his command, he tried to make her understand. He loved her more and more each day, and in his own peculiar way, he'd open up his heart to say, "Darling, je vous aime beaucoup. Je ne sais pas quoi to do. Vous savez completely stolen my heart. Matin, midi et le soir, toujours wondering how you are. And that's the way I felt right from the start. Ah, chérie, my love for you is très, très fort. I wish my French were good enough. Oh, I tell you so much more. J'espère that you comprend all the little things you mean to me. Darling, je vous aime beaucoup. I love you. Oh, my darling, vous êtes très jolie. Qu'est-ce que c'est vous do to me? Absolutely, je suis in a trance. Tout le temps, j'espère que vous dream of me un petit peu too. Ah, chérie, je pense this is romance. Quand nous sommes alone and you are in my arms, je remercie le bon Dieu pour all your lovely charms. Dites-moi, do you love me too? Ah, je suis happy if you do. Darling, je vous aime beaucoup. Oh, I love you so. I do. Oh, I do love you.
Hildegard, darling, je vous aime beaucoup, if I know what I mean. Anything you want, just name it.
Oh, well, Dave, you know what I think what the party really needs is a good male quartet.
You know, strange that you should mention that, Hildegard. Believe it or not, we have a male quartet on hand. One of the malest quartets you ever saw, in fact. We brought him over from Ebbets Field just for you. Hildegard, I want you to meet four talented gentlemen from Brooklyn. The celebrated hit-and-run quartet, also known as the Green Print Nightingales, all members in good batting order of the Brooklyn Dodgers Ball Club. Quartet, Meet Hildegard.
Hiya, babe.
Hiya, boys. Pull up home plate and sit down.
The Dodgers Quartet will shortly render a little ditty, Hildegard. But first, I want the audience to meet the boys separately. Number one, that terrific slugger and baritone, Dixie Walker.
My time is your time.
Well, it's kind of a high baritone. In fact, it's the highest I ever heard. Second, that celebrated veteran pitcher of no-hit games, also a baritone, Tex Carlton.
Hi-ho, Flatbush.
Ooh, Tex, you're as pretty as a picture.
Oh, gee, Hilda, I'm not that good-looking.
Oh, no, I mean pretty as a baseball pitcher. In fact, Texie, you're a number one on my no-hit parade.
Third, that change-of-pace expert, yesterday's 3-0 winner, Vito Tamulis.
When the moon comes over the mountain...
That's Vito. And finally, that Keystone Kid, Johnny Mr. Chips Hudson.
Good evening, kiddies. This is your Uncle Johnny.
Well, Mr. Johnny Chips Hudson also sings baritone. In fact, this is the only all-baritone quartet in any league. Now, if you gentlemen will kindly drape yourself around Hildegard, at the microphone, I mean.
A pleasure.
Good. Now, Hildegard, is there anything you'd like to hear the boys sing?
Yes. You know, there's really one song that really fits the occasion, Dave. You know as well as I do, I think the boys have simply got to sing Sweet Adeline. Okay, boys?
Okay, Dave.
All right, boys. And when I give the signal, I'd like to hear our whole studio audience join in, will you? All right, boys, sing.
Sweet Adeline, my Adeline, at night, dear heart. In all my dreams, your fair face beams, you're the flower of my heart, sweet Adeline.
Brooklyn still in the league?
Yes!
Well, the party's over, and before we start putting the rugs down, moving the furniture back, and getting the house in shape again, this is Dave Ellman saying, you too can be the life of the party. Good night, everyone.
The program you just heard is intended as a sample of a series based on the same idea. The Life of the Party, as a series, would bring you each week a similar lineup of both amateur and professional performers. The man who can do a tap dance with a typewriter is only one of thousands of unsung heroes who manage to win friends and influence people with similarly outlandish stunts. To these unknown party wars, Dave Ellman plans to add a seasoning of professional talent. Celebrities of long standing whose party specialties are well known to their friends, but seldom heard by the public at large. In addition, when and if the Life of the Party reaches the air as a series, it will provide you with a chance to get a national hearing for your own party song, trick, or stunt. The Life of the Party was produced and directed by Dave Ellman. Stay tuned to this station for forecast number 9 from Hollywood. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.